I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes.
They say that love is a two-way street, but you can't prove that by me.
Singer Natalie Cole has staked a claim as an interpreter of standards for quite some time. She first struck gold with rhythm and blues, but now the 8-time Grammy winner is making a departure from her most familiar territory. For her latest CD, Natalie Cole sings soulful renditions of songs made popular by other artists, including Sting, Kate Bush, Neil Young, Aretha Franklin, and Shelby Lynn. Leavin' is the title song from her new recording. Natalie Cole recently dropped by the studios of NPR West to talk about her life, her career, and her latest musical direction.
And you can't make me stay.
I was kind of getting a little bored, if you will, with the jazz world, so I was more than happy to do another kind of music.
Now, I know it's going to be hard on you once it hits you that I'm gone.
For me, it's always a challenge because you can easily do something that everybody knows, or you can take a little bit of something that everybody knows and then take some other songs that maybe aren't quite as familiar and basically put your own spin on them. And that's what we've done with this music.
Aretha Franklin's Daydreaming. Did you have a big love for this song before, and how do you think you did it differently?
Always had a big love for the song. Dallas Austin, who is the producer of this project, was sitting in his studio, and we were just kind of talking, running ideas back and forth, and all of a sudden he starts singing, Daydreaming and I'm Thinking of You. And I'm like, what? I love that song.
He's the kind of guy that you give your everything, trust all your heart, share all of your love, till death do you part, won't break your heart.
And he goes, yeah, I do too. So we said, let's do it. It wasn't that difficult because Daydreaming just has such a very cool vibe to it. I just wanted to just speed it up a little. Dallas is also the drummer on a lot of his projects. So he, you know, has a tasty way of doing drums. And we added a little bit of a hip-hop feel to it. And there you have it. And it was just really, really a lot of fun. I think we took it to kind of another place. Aretha loves it, which, of course, is very, very gratifying for all of us.
If I ever lose my faith in you, Sting.
Yes.
What attracted you to that? And, again, what kind of personal approach did you take?
Beautiful song. I've always loved that song of Sting's. I'm a big fan of his. And when I heard this song, I thought to myself, he's either talking about Trudy only, Trudy who was his wife, as well as, you know, his family values, and I think his faith in a higher power. And I just wanted to make even more of an emphasis on the spiritual level, so we added the Beatitudes from Scripture. I chose them, you know, rather carefully. There's actually 8 Beatitudes. I used 4. And so it kind of already puts a more of a spiritual spin on it. It sounds kind of like chanting the beginning of the song. And then just to give it a really nice, great, kind of a rockish feel to the song itself. I love the way it turned out. I had to fight to get this song on the record.
You could say I lost my sense of direction. And you could say all of this in words, but if I ever lose my faith in you, there'd be nothing left for me to do. Some would say I was a lost girl in a lost world.
How big of a role has spirituality played in where you've been, what you do, how you keep doing it?
Yeah, it plays a lot of, it has a great role in my life, in my music. I really draw from it so often. And I think as you move on in your life and you get older and and you get into different seasons and stages, you know, of your development as a person, that you start wanting, you start thinking about things, and at least for me, I start wanting to share things that are going on, you know, in my brain, in my mind, in my heart, things that I see. It always comes back to my connection to the Creator and what I'm here for and what I'm supposed to be doing and what I'm not supposed to be doing. And so I put this task upon myself, you know, and I think it's very God-related, and it helps me a lot.
You have definitely, you know, been through some moments in your life that have been trying. Going through drug addiction, has artistry helped you get through it in any way?
Mm-mm. I don't think so. I think that after I achieved some kind of sobriety in my life, I was able to return to music and look at it in a really positive way. I think probably one of the most difficult things that can happen to you when you're dealing either with an addiction or a depression, the hardest thing to do is to go out and sing music or to play music or to create music. For a lot of people, I think it's a kind of an innovational tool that motivates them. But for me, I think it was just really difficult. I found myself in just too much of a dark place to want to be creative. At one point, I wanted to stop singing and, you know, things like that. So I think everybody reacts to it differently. But certainly, my music can lift, and it has lifted me when I was coming out of, you know, those really difficult times.
Well, I've been a lot of places.
I want to return to your current CD, 5 minutes Away. Where did that come from?
We managed to get one little song in there. Well, the record company wanted us to get an original song on this record. And so Dallas and myself and the keyboard player Chance Parkman put this little song together. It was some kind of my concept, and my gentleman friend, who's a lovely person, we met a year and a half ago, and it turned out that we only live 5 minutes away from each other. And part of the lyric says, you know, I've been all around the world just to find love was right at my door.
You know, I've been all around the world to find it was right at my door, 5 minutes away.
And that's just, sometimes I think that we just work so hard at trying to find that perfect person or that mate, or, and you just never know. Sometimes it's closer than you think.
And it just might be you.
Nat King Cole had kind of the qualities in a different way that you think about a fictional character like Cliff Huxtable. You know, everybody wanted him as their dad.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know? Yeah,
and that's got to be... That's got to cut both ways if it really is your dad.
Right. Right. Yeah, we were at one point, I think it was Ebony Magazine that touted us as the Black Kennedys in the 50s. That's quite a thing to live up to, you know, when you are living your life in the public eye, whether you want to or not. But people certainly thought they had a total picture of what it was like being in the Cole family. And I think that, you know, a lot of people thought that, you know, my dad would walk around singing all day long, which was, you know, not true. Or, you know, that we just had this some kind of, you know, special life.
Did that affect both the positive aspects of you becoming a singer and the negative aspects of issues that you might have had to deal with later on?
You know, I didn't know that I was going to be a singer. When I was growing up and I was such a daddy's girl, I spent as much time with him as possible because it was very difficult finding that private time or alone time with my dad in particular. It impacted me in a way that my private life is, it's, you know, I don't live it any really that differently than my public life. And in watching my father growing up, he was pretty much the same guy, whether he was on stage or whether he was at home. And not knowing it then, but later on, I realized how much people admired him for that, and that's something that I tried to do in my own life as I was growing up and became an adult and went on to have my own family. And I know it was very difficult for him to not spend as much time with his children as he would have liked to. We had a wonderful, you know, we didn't have the quantity, but we did at least have the quality of life.
chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols.
The Christmas song. That song is a staple in my family.
Absolutely.
And I think in families across the world. Did your dad at least sing you the Christmas song at Christmas?
Nope. All we do is just right around the end of November, we'd start making the decorations of the house. And once my mom put on Dad's Christmas record, not just the Christmas song, but he had recorded a whole Christmas record with all kinds of Christmas songs on it. But once that record went on, it was Christmas. And I think that's true for almost anyone that has heard that song or that album, that there's just something about the time in which it was recorded, just the whole environment, you know, it just changes almost magically your home. And it's just really a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's probably the most famous song that anyone's ever recorded. And people do say that it's not officially Christmas until you put Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
What's ahead for you?
I'm definitely looking forward to writing more songs. The next record that we'll do will probably be at least the majority, if not all of it, will be originals. People are still, will still react to good music if we can just get the good music out there. So I'm going to continue on my little journey and do what I do best.
And we'll be there listening.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Natalie.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Old man, look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost. Like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
Natalie Cole's latest CD is Leavin'. To hear music from the CD, just log on to npr.org.
Oh, man.